Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. Folks, I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they want to, which about one out of every three does. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degrees, graduate certificates, online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or a master's degree, this might be the college for you, citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. Legacies Alive works to help Gold Star families. We'll talk with their founders. Then we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to introduce DJ and Mark Fladowski. Yes, they're brothers. DJ is a Naval Academy grad and a former SEAL. Mark was a West Point grad and served in our Army's Rangers. They've begun a nonprofit that has a very unique way of supporting Gold Star families. For those of you who don't know, a Gold Star family is a family who has lost a loved one who was serving our nation in uniform. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Mark.
Thanks, Denny, and I appreciate you having us.
And welcome aboard, DJ.
Thank you, Denny. Thank you for having us as well.
And I did okay saying welcome aboard, right?
You got it right.
Got to take care of the squids. Anyway, DJ, you're the oldest. How and why did you decide on the Naval Academy and then SEALs?
My story really begins in the aftermath of 9/11. 9/11 happened my senior year in high school and really marked my call to service. I did not have plans to attend the Naval Academy prior to, but after seeing the Twin Towers fall down, I knew that I had to serve in some capacity, and that was a catalyst that drove me to the Naval Academy. So then once I got there, I actually had to figure out what I wanted to do, and I wanted to be on the front lines of the war effort in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I felt that the combination of that opportunity and the high caliber of men and women I would work with in the SEAL teams is what caused me to choose going into Naval Special Warfare.
Okay, that makes sense. Mark, what's your story?
Yeah, I think like any younger brother always wants to follow in the footpath of their older brother. DJ and I unfortunately lost our mother to cancer in 2003. At the time, DJ was a freshman at the Naval Academy. And, you know, growing up and going through a tough time and seeing the man that my brother, just 3 years older than me, was becoming and becoming quickly in a maturity level. And in something that I viewed as a calling to something that was higher than anyone in our family had experienced, and that was the call to serve their country. So I originally wanted to be like my big brother and go to the Naval Academy. And I was fortunate enough, as DJ was, to be able to play a little bit of sports. And so I was recruited by Navy, and then I didn't want to do exactly what DJ was doing, but I wanted to serve my country. And that came in the capacity of a school in the Hudson named West Point who was recruiting me. And I didn't know much about it at that age, and I quickly learned more and was offered an appointment to attend West Point. Following graduation, I was commissioned as a second lieutenant. As soon as I got to my first duty station in Schofield Barracks, Hawaii, I deployed to Iraq shortly 3 weeks after graduating from Ranger School. I went to Iraq for a year and loved leading soldiers, loved being what it was in the forefront of the war. And but I also knew that as Iraq was starting to wind down, I wanted to get back to combat as quickly as possible. DJ at the time was, I think, DJ, were you on your second or third deployment at the time?
Third deployment.
And it's third. And DJ told me about him working with, in the special operations community with Rangers, and really was impressed with the work and liked working with those guys. And again, he led me in the right direction. So I was fortunate to be selected into 2nd Ranger Battalion and then subsequently did two deployments to Afghanistan with the Rangers.
Okay. Both of you got out after a few deployments. And to do what? DJ, what are you doing there?
After I got out, I spent about 10 years on active duty. And after about five deployments, I switched careers and went back to school for a graduate degree, which I finished up in May. And now I currently work in the private sector in New York City.
Okay. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing Legacies Alive. We're about to with DJ and Mark Fladowski. Mark, what are you doing now?
Again, similar to DJ, we both got out and went to business school. I graduated 2017, and I then moved to New York, and I work in finance.
Okay.
Denny, this time actually followed Mark, so I was a year behind and really saw what he was doing, and it piqued my interest, and I followed in his footsteps.
Okay. It's almost like you guys are friends as well as brothers.
Every day but once a year.
That's usually, Saturday. And I'll bet that's a Saturday afternoon in December. Yes, indeed.
You got it.
Okay. Our whole goal is talk about Legacies Alive. Where did the idea come from? You guys had lost a mother, but not to combat or any kind of military service. Where did the idea come from to reach out and support Gold Star families?
Really, Denny, it came from passion and appreciation for the men and women who have been killed in service to our country as well as their families. That is, in essence, what led the idea and generation of Legacies Alive. At the time, DJ and I were getting out of the military, and the other co-founder, Mike Vitti, had been out. He was working in the private sector, and we were talking about what we can do, how we can support Gold Star families, how we can show appreciation. And it all started, we didn't know what it would spawn into in a long-term organization, but we wanted to go and say thanks to Gold Star families. And we thought that we had the ability to go out and find what they need. And if there was a void, identify it and help. But really, it started simplistically to thank Gold Star families. So Mike had the idea to walk a kilometer for every person killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, which seemed like a near impossible task and quite an undertaking. So with the support of family and friends, we got together and supported Mike in that journey. Somewhere on that hike, we had seen points where we could help support Gold Star families, and we knew that this was more of a long-term play. So after the hike ended at the 2014 Army-Navy game, we continued into a long-term strategy to support these families. We didn't want to just, you know, be the next person just to carry the torch for a year and stop. So that's how it started, and we've been successful to continue with our legacy challenges. We have three, and we can talk about it a little bit later, with legacy challenges, legacy projects, and legacy events.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. I think you see that where we're going with Legacies Alive, exactly how it works, you'll find out when we come back. Troops, I want you to balance on one foot for 2 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 2 minutes, and do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Every year we hear of new biological threats ranging from mutated flu viruses to full-blown worldwide pandemic. Always keep a 3-month supply of food, fresh water, and medical supplies inside your home. The only reliable defense against pandemic is to avoid human contact by staying inside your home until the threat is passed. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
If you are a baby boomer with $200,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you are a baby boomer with $200,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
He wanted to be known for doing his best.
Sure, you're right.
His best made him Major League Baseball's most valuable player.
Strike two.
He played in six World Series and was elected to the Hall of Fame. Although an honest man, he was best at stealing home.
Save.
But the best quality of Jackie Robinson's life was his character. So here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Thanks for passing it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillen. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Mark and DJ Flodowski about the great works of Legacies Alive. And your thoughts were you weren't going to come to Gold Star families and tell them what they need. You were going to find out what their needs are and try to meet them. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It was a way for us to go and say thank you and identify if there was a void, how we could help and we could personally support that cause. DJ?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mark hit it on the head a little bit earlier. I can't take credit for really being the co-founder. It's really with Mark and Mike. They created this incredible inertia and just energy around giving back to Gold Star families. In the inner group that started Legacies Alive as an organization, we're all veterans or the spouse of veterans. And we really looked at it from the lens of we should not suggest what Gold Star families need, but rather we just want to know that they're appreciated, their sacrifice is not forgotten. And really what that walk and that hike led was, we strategically planned the walk around visiting Gold Star families, and we would knock on the door and let them know that their sacrifice is remembered and much appreciated and that their fallen hero will never be forgotten. And sometimes that was a 10-minute conversation, and other times it was a 3-day stay with them. But at the end of that hike, we noticed that there's a lot more work that needed to be done with Gold Star families. And so we really tried to reach out to more. We really let them guide our organization, and we adapt to their needs.
Okay. Given the fact there are Gold Star families in every state of the union, probably in every city, and all of their needs are different, how do you do that?
I know it's a bit cliche to say where there's a will, there's a way, but that is absolutely the definition of how we feel that our organization operates. And so when you say nationally, the Gold Star Network is a network that nobody ever wants to be a part of. And unfortunately, there is a need for an organization like Legacies Alive. But those people, it is a strong network, and we take it upon ourselves to help strengthen the relationships. And it doesn't matter if our Gold Star families, that when we get together several times a year, some are in Des Moines, Iowa. Some are in San Diego, California. Some are in Weatherford, Texas. Some are in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're all over the country. And so when we can bring those people together, it doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. One thing is always in common is love for country. And unfortunately, the shared sacrifice of having lost a loved one in service to our country.
Wow.
I just wanted to add a little bit to that. And really, I think that, you know, how do we serve the Gold Star families? And I think that you're right. Everyone has different needs. But we also look at it from a lens that's based on two assumptions. The first assumption is that we understand that every fallen hero was more to that family than just a person who was in uniform. And when we approach Gold Star families, we understand that that's part of how they view it. That was their son who grew up, who was a child, who then developed and played sports and loved their country and eventually decided to wear the uniform. But that assumption of recognizing that there's more to the fallen hero than just the person in uniform, I think really, really helps us meet their needs.
You know, that's a really, really, really good point. So you guys reach out to Gold Star families around the nation, and obviously didn't hear either you say that you married billionaires, so money is an issue. Where does the money come from? How can listeners get involved?
We receive money based off of donations solely. We are not a foundation that writes grants up until this date, so purely we're supported by the goodwill, patriotism, and benevolence of different donors across the country. The majority of our revenue comes from individuals that they understand, recognize, and respect Gold Star families. And we also have a few corporate sponsors that also support our organization. In terms of getting involved, we always tell each other there's more ways to get involved than just with their pocketbook. And so we look at it as people can help the organization in terms of time, talent, or their resources. And what I mean by that is in terms of time, you know, we do events throughout the year across the country, and we need volunteers. We need people to help us achieve our mission. In terms of talents, the organization needs good talent to be successful. And sometimes if people feel very compelled by our mission and what we do, sharing their talents with us and ultimately the Gold Star families is very valued. And finally, without financial resources, we also cannot accomplish our mission. So getting involved in any of those three ways is much appreciated. And to find out specifically how to do that, people can visit our website at www.legaciesalive.com and just write an email if they want more information. That's not on the website.
Okay. And I would presume that Gold Star families don't need to reach out to you. They just need to be part of their local Gold Star family organization, and you contact through them, correct?
Correct. It works either way. We search, we try hard to find the Gold Star families, but we always encourage Gold Star families to contact us as well. And I want to hit on a few other points to piggyback on DJ.
Yes.
Just so it's very clear, when we raise money, and we are passionate about raising money, because that money goes back to support our cause and to support Gold Star families. Unlike a lot of organizations, between 97 and 99%, depending on the year, goes back to the cause. There's nobody in our organization that gets paid. We solely go out and we raise funds from generous people to give that back to support our nation's Gold Star families. Second is we have three pillars in Legacies Alive. One is legacy challenges. Two is legacy projects. And three is legacy events. It takes money to fund each of those. Legacy challenges are Mike's Hiking for Heroes, Swim for Their Sacrifice, where Chris Ring swam the length of the Mississippi, and then Cycle to Celebrate, where a Gold Star mother, Kay Jordan, and a Gold Star father, Mike Parrish, biked from San Diego, California to One World Trade Center in New York City. That takes money. The second pillar is legacy projects. Is just to name a few, we did the Chris Moon Memorial that is dedicated to Chris Moon, who was a baseball player in Tucson, Arizona. And Legacies Alive contributed approximately $61,000 to have this memorial built. We just finished this year, which we're very proud of, Soldier Springs Park in Weatherford, Texas, where we contributed approximately $37,000. We built the Ryan Clark Memorial with the Clark family in New London, Minnesota, that took approximately $11,000. And that's just to name a few of these legacy projects. So we build permanent memorials in the hometowns of these heroes so that they will always be remembered. And then the third pillar is legacy events. So every year, you know, we just got back in December, as DJ said earlier, the one day we don't get along is the Army-Navy game. So So every year we bring Gold Star families to the Army-Navy game. This year, I think we hosted 86 people in our party. So again, being able to host these families, and you know, as we were talking before, Denny, this is not an organization that we're always sad. There's definitely a time to mourn and to be sad, but our Gold Star families are young, they're vibrant, they're normal. If DJ or I were to be killed, our family is not abnormal. They're high-functioning people in society that they would want to be surrounded by the love and support, and that's ultimately what we try to do with Legacies Alive. And then I think one thing I would add is how to get involved to contribute. In addition to what DJ said, is simply seek out the Gold Star families in your area. And when you do come across a Gold Star family or someone tells you, learn that hero's story and find a way to support that family in your community.
Gents, thank you. That is a great summary. Thank you, DJ, for joining us today. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Denny. And Mark, I really appreciate the opportunity.
And Mark, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Denny.
And thanks to both of you for your service to our nation back on duty. Thank you for what you're doing now. I appreciate you and hope we can stay in touch.
It's our honor. I appreciate you,
Denny. Thank you, Denny.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the movie of the month with Garden State Film Festival's Diane Raver, and we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, with each arm, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to provide Freedom's Choice and home-based products to our commissary patrons around the world.
These brands allow our military service members, veterans, and their families to stretch their commissary benefit, offering you quality you expect and the savings you deserve.
Through Freedom's Choice and Home-Base, we're serving our best.
Staying at a hotel is not the same thing as staying at the Fisher House.
The Fisher House, I know, is a huge part of Land Recovery.
For somebody like my husband, for them to know that their family members are being taken care of, that's a huge burden off of them, so they can concentrate on their therapies.
Just having that assurance that no matter what, as long as we were there for Anson, that someone would be there to take care of us. It took so much weight off our shoulders.
How can you help? Go to FisherHouse.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Longtime Trump associate Roger Stone is pleading not guilty in a D.C. federal court in the Mueller probe. Stone is accused of obstruction, lying to Congress, and witness tampering, to which Republican Congressman Peter King tells Fox News, let's see some of that evidence.
I'm not certain how strong the evidence is. It may or may not be. I think we have to see it in the full context of his testimony as to whether or not these were honest mistakes, whether it was gossip he was carrying on in his emails. And listen, if he's guilty of perjury, he's guilty of it.
The Midwest and Great Lakes are preparing for frigid temperatures colder than many have ever experienced. A polar vortex is traveling into the region, bringing air temperatures that will range between 20 and 40 below zero on Wednesday. Wind chills will make it feel like almost 60 below zero. In Atlanta, home of the Super Bowl on Sunday, well, they're expecting 2 inches of snow, and they're telling folks to watch out for black ice. This is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. Now it's time to review the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome back to the show, Diane.
Thank you, Denny. Of course, it's always an honor and a privilege to be with you.
Hey, we're a good team.
Yeah.
Well, this month's movie is The Last Imperial Soldier, the true story of a Japanese soldier who refused to surrender at the end of World War II. He lived in the mountain area, wore his uniform, carried his weapons, had built a nice hut to live in and hunted for food. And this story takes place 30 years after the war ended. This is quite a story, especially for us military folks. Whoever decided to do this did their homework too, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely. It was fascinating. And again, the life is stranger than fiction. It was astounding to me that this soldier was so devoted that he would not surrender except to his commanding officer. But I believe, and I could be mistaken, but I believe he didn't realize the war had ended for so many years. And then when a hiker came upon him, he said, hey, the war is over, but he wouldn't surrender until he heard it from his commander.
Well, just why would you believe somebody who's out hiking?
Yeah.
On the other hand, if it's a war zone and he's dressed like a hiker and carrying nothing but a bottle of water and a hiking stick, maybe that's an indication that things aren't dangerous.
Well, yeah, but again, it spoke to the mentality of the time. I mean, again,
yes,
those soldiers would get in a plane and expect not to come back, which is something that was, no pun intended, foreign to our mentality at that time and still is.
Well,
so.
Imperial Japan was not a place where you expressed your emotions and feelings. You did what you were told, and you did it, and you did it well, and you kept doing it till you were told to stop doing it. That was
exactly.
Part of the entire culture, especially in the military, but not just in the military. But to do it for a month or a year or a couple of years, but 30 years, there's dedication.
Right. And again, it speaks to the cultural differences, too. So, yeah, fascinating film, I thought.
Yes. And what an insight into, one, an aspect of culture, but two, some of the really amazing things that go on in this world that we don't know about. Wow. I mean, wouldn't it be an interesting world if all of us had that dedication to our duty that that guy had?
Correct. And, of course, so many do, and that's why I'm so pleased to be here with you every month, Denny, thanking always our men and women in uniform for preserving our freedom and to let them know it does not go unappreciated.
Well, yes, we do appreciate our vets, of course. You know, in my opinion, he clearly had what we would call today post-traumatic stress disorder. He had flashbacks. He clings to his commander's final instructions.
Right.
There's nothing unusual about that. He'd been in combat, close combat. He saw all his friends either die or desert him or move on, whatever.
Yeah. He was basically in solitary confinement all those years. Yeah.
So, as we've discussed before, this suggests that most people with combat experience have severe reactions which are potentially dangerous, which is not true. It is in some cases, like this one, he was potentially dangerous, but in fact, he didn't hurt any people. So I need to make my pitch here that people who have been in combat, even those suffering from PTSD, for the most part, 99% are not dangerous. And the few that are taken care of, at least in America. So let's go on to the film. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the movie of the month, The Last Imperial Soldier with Diane Raver. Here are some listener comments. One, it's hard to believe someone could live like that for 30 years. Well, I think we agree with that one, Diane.
I would say.
His hut was nice. He had electricity and he played a phonograph. Wonder where the electricity came from. I don't know.
I can't answer that, but, you know, who knows?
Well, he may have, as part of combat, he may have had some kind of a generator that he, you know, running
maybe
water could turn.
Maybe a cranky thing, too, you know.
Yep. Good point. In those days, cranking phonographs were not that uncommon.
Right.
He apparently met Japanese civilians while out hunting, and for some reason they accepted him, and he ignored them for 30 years. Well, frankly, if I was out doing something, hunting, hiking, and some guy with a gun came by, and he wasn't going to approach me, I wasn't going to approach him. That sounds normal to me. Does it to you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if he's not bothering you, he's not
threatening. I think there's a multitude of errors along this story, but, I mean, the thing is, it happened, so, you know.
Yeah. We may not be able to replay every bit of it with 100% accuracy.
Correct.
The fact that it did go on for 30 years, and these kind of things did have to happen. Interesting that the girl that he met with bananas decided to come out and find him and then to come to him. And then it's terrible that in a fit he shot and killed her. That's a horrible thing. It's wonderful that she was reaching out to him, and that kind of thing can happen. So I don't think that's improbable.
Right. And, of course, cautionary tale to those of us who think we are being kind, that you don't know what someone's been through and how to approach them. So there's a cautionary tale there for civilians and people that think they were doing something kind.
Yes.
Maybe to err on the side of caution.
Yes, that young lady clearly went far beyond reasonable caution.
Right.
But it's not like I've never done that.
Well, me neither, for that matter.
I'd love to tell you I'm perfect, but you know me too well to believe it. And his attempt at suicide was real. I would expect that he at least considered it a number of times over 30
years. I would think over 30 years, you know.
Because that means his family was gone, all his friends were gone from him. I don't know if they were gone. As far as he was concerned, they were gone. He had no communication with them, not his military assignment, nothing. He was alone, truly alone. So, yeah, that makes sense. Interesting that his commander, one could be found and brought to him. Guam is quite a far away from Japan. Obviously, the Japanese government cared about him, appreciated him, and went to the trouble of figuring out who he was, who his commander was. The man was still alive and able to travel and willing to travel. That in itself is enough for a book.
Yeah, that was the beautiful part of the story, if you ask me, is that meeting could take place and that there could be resolution.
Yeah. I mean, just finding him and transporting him there and deciding where to meet. I mean, that's a big island. All that kind of stuff. And that's the fact that they remembered each other. I mean, 30 years later, you know. But it was a great story, and I would imagine if I were that commander, I'd sure do some thinking about who was Private so-and-so or Sergeant so-and-so, and I'd do some research. But it was great. It showed that the country cared for him. It showed that his former commander cared for him. And it showed that his values were real because he did what he'd say.
Yep. Steadfast. Yep.
Yep. And interesting, too, believable, that when the time came for him to leave his hut, he took time closing out his hut. And before he left, he had to go back and just have some quiet time in his hut. Well, that would make sense if that had been your home for 30 years.
Exactly.
And you're not just leaving for a vacation. You're going. I could certainly see that. I mean, I've lived in the house I'm in now for about 32 years. If I had to leave, I wouldn't just slam the door and leave. I'd want to enjoy some memories and stuff. So that all makes sense to me.
Oh, marvelous. I hope that your listeners enjoyed that one.
Yes, and the movie of the month for February is an amazing movie. It's The Pledge of Allegiance. You're going to love it, folks.
Yes, that's with our beloved Ed Asner, who has been a big supporter of the Garden State Film Festival and is one of our honorary board members and has been with us 6 or 7 times over the years. And this film was born at a festival when I introduced the filmmaker to Ed. And the filmmaker then asked him if he would be so kind as to be the spokesperson in the film. So I'm a little bit partial to this one, and it tells a story of the Pledge of Allegiance starting in New Jersey, which I can't help but give a plug to.
Hey, that's you.
Yeah.
And the Garden State Film Festival is coming up in the end of March, correct?
Yep, March 28th through the 31st in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and we'd love to see all of your listeners with us, as many as could make it. So,
folks, I encourage you to be there. I'm going to try to be there myself. Thank you, Diane, for being a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm proud to have you as a team member, and thank you for your nonstop efforts to promote great movies. That's a big part of America.
It's an honor and a privilege, Denny. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be close to 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 10 at a time. Once you're combat ready, then stand at ease.
Mike Hewitt here. Just a question. Did winning the Cold War provide us with a generational-sized unintended consequence? Seriously, are we better off without having a common enemy, an evil empire, an opposing superpower with a socialistic economic engine crushing government authority over its people in a complete absence of anything like our Bill of Rights? Yep, there it was, working devilishly hard to remind us of all of the things we should never allow our Union of States to become. And now the American left calls for an end to what freed so many from abject poverty, even as they embrace much of what we once stood together to denounce. Capitalism won, socialism lost. That's a fact, and yet many in academia and our media are working hard to fool a generation into believing things that just aren't so. Find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living Consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gill, and this is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send me your thoughts at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's first?
Bob from New York says he wants to scream whenever one of his liberal friends tries to tell him how bad our president is. Trump's far from perfect, but he's doing the right things for our nation. What can he do?
Bob, on my comments by the colonel last week, I outlined a large number of things that are better now because of what our president has done. Grab that podcast, make a list, and offer to discuss it with your friends. Encourage them to Google what you say to confirm the truth. I hope that will help. Too many folks like your friends want to lecture but not listen. Well, this is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who's no longer with us. D. Wayne Stone was a product of New York's tough West Side. That's the tennis club. As a West Point cadet, he remained calm and unperturbed throughout his 4 years, despite frequent bouts with the tactical department and, occasionally, the New York State Highway Patrol. His father was an attorney and a member of the Army Reserves who served in World War I and World War II. At an early age, D proved to be a multi-talented lad, excelling in academics, athletics, and music. During his 4 years at West Point, he was vice president of the French Club, a member of the Astronomy Club, Math Forum, Rocket Society, Russian Club, and Chapel Choir. He also taught Sunday school for 3 years. Upon graduation, he was commissioned in the field artillery. He served at Fort Carson, Colorado. He soon got the itch to fly and attended flight training. In June of 66, he was assigned to the 119th Aviation Company in Vietnam, where he rapidly became known as an outstanding officer and skilled helicopter pilot. On 11 November 1966, he was called upon to suppress enemy fire. He directed the full firepower of his attack helicopter at the enemy heavy machine guns, which were seriously endangering the troop ships he was escorting. D accomplished his mission, but it cost him his life. Rest in peace, D. Stone.
Sounds like a feisty guy. I think I would have liked him.
He was quite a guy. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 1 February 1943, Japanese forces on Guadalcanal Island, defeated by our Marines, started to withdraw after the Japanese emperor finally gave them permission. In July 1942, the Japanese landed on Guadalcanal Island, part of the Solomon Islands, and began constructing an airfield. In response, our troops landed on 5 islands within the Solomon chain, including Guadalcanal. The landings on the other 4 met with much initial opposition from the Japanese. Quote, "I have never heard or read of this kind of fighting," wrote one American major general on the scene. "These people refuse to surrender." The Americans who landed on Guadalcanal had an easier time of it initially. Over 11,000 Marines landed, but 24 hours passed before the Japanese there knew what had happened. The U.S. forces quickly met their main objective of taking the airfield, and the outnumbered Japanese troops temporarily retreated. Japanese reinforcements were landed, though, and fierce hand-to-hand jungle fighting ensued. Our troops were assaulted from both sea and air, but when reinforcements arrived, we gained the advantage. By February 1943, the Japanese retreated on secret orders of their emperor. In fact, the Japanese retreat was so stealthy that our troops didn't even know it had taken place until they stumbled upon abandoned positions and discarded supplies. The Japanese lost over 25,000 men compared with a loss of 1,600 by the Americans. Each side lost 24 warships.
24 warships?
Yeah.
That's something. On 31 January 1945, Private Eddie Slovic became the first American soldier since the Civil War to be executed for desertion and the only one during World War II. Slovak was a draftee, originally classified 4F because of a prison record, Grand Theft Auto. He was reclassified 1A when draft standards were lowered to meet the growing needs. In January of 1944, he was trained to be a rifleman, which he didn't like as he hated guns. In August, Slovic was shipped to France to fight with the 28th Infantry Division, which had already suffered massive casualties in France and Germany. Slovic was a replacement, a class of soldier not particularly respected by the officers. Exactly one day after Slovic joined the unit, he claimed he was too scared and nervous to be a rifleman and threatened to run away if forced into combat. He was ignored, and he took off. One day later, he returned and signed a confession of desertion, claiming he would run away again if forced to fight, and submitted it to an officer. The officer advised him to take the confession back, as the consequences were serious. Slovak refused and was confined to the stockade. The 28th Division had cases of soldiers wounding themselves or deserting in the hopes of a prison sentence that might protect them from perils of combat. A legal officer offered Slovak a deal: dive into combat immediately and avoid the court-martial. Slovak refused. He was tried for desertion and was convicted in less than 2 hours. The 9-officer court-martial panel passed a unanimous sentence of execution. Slovak's appeal failed. It was held that he directly challenged the authority of the U.S. and that the future discipline depends on a resolute reply to this challenge. Slovak had to pay for his recalcitrant attitude, and the military made an example of him. One last appeal was made to General Dwight Eisenhower, the Supreme Allied Commander, but the timing was bad for mercy. The Battle of the Bulge in the Ardennes Forest was resulting in literally thousands of American casualties, not to mention the second largest surrender of an army unit during the war. Eisenhower upheld the death sentence. Slovak was shot by a 12-man firing squad in eastern France. None of the riflemen even flinched, firmly believing Slovak had gotten what he deserved. And that's military history. Skip, it's time for Armed America Report. What do we have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a knife-wielding man caused a Greyhound bus to crash in Denver. An armed citizen ensured an arrest. The suspect breached the secured area of the bus, allegedly attacked the driver, and spun the steering wheel, causing the bus to go off the road. After it stopped, the assailant crawled out a window, despite attempted intervention by one or more of the passengers. Outside, though, an armed bystander told the fleeing man to freeze and held him at gunpoint till police arrived.
Thanks, Colonel. There are some important legal lessons to be learned in this story about when to use deadly force. First, let's commend the legally armed bystander for stepping in and taking control. Let's also commend the actions of the bus riders who tried to intervene as the bus driver was being attacked. But now let's talk about use of deadly force against a fleeing felon. In general, it should not be done, and in most cases, could even result in criminal and civil charges against the armed citizen. Now, don't get me wrong, there was nothing illegal about this armed citizen issuing a challenge command to the criminal who was running away. You just need to understand that if you yell, "Stop or I'll shoot," and they don't stop, you can't shoot them in the back as they flee. In most cases, a person who is running away from you, trying to get away from you, does not pose a deadly threat, and you'll go to prison for shooting him. Bullets in the back of a man running away are very difficult to defend in the courtroom, and I highly recommend you exercise restraint. Now, if you want to get involved and choose to issue a challenge command, then you have to be convincing. The fleeing criminal will stop only when they are convinced that you will shoot them if they continue fleeing. Think about it. If they stop, they're going to go to jail, so you must convince them that it's in their own best interest to spend time in prison rather than getting away. Here are a few guidelines to follow when issuing challenge commands. Keep it simple. Don't try to get fancy here. Just yell stop. Anything beyond that, while you're nervous, may not come out right. You may even stutter.
Yell loudly and forcefully in your most convincing command voice. Yell from the diaphragm, not the voice box, or you may strain your vocal cords. Try to sound like a military drill instructor. And most important, if they don't stop, don't shoot. The only exception to that is if you can prove in a court of law that they still pose an imminent deadly threat against innocent persons. Just be aware that challenge commands don't always work. There are even cases where the person who was challenged stopped, but then turned on the gun-carrying citizen to attack him. Be courageous out there, but also be safe and smart.
Thank you, Skip. Our movie of the month, which we just reviewed, is The Last Imperial Soldier, a true story. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog to get the link. You can still watch it for free to the end of this month. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Dr. Eric Fritz will join us to introduce us to Veterans for Smart Power. This is about how our nation should use its military, economic, and political power. We'll also talk with Captain Joe John about our southern border, and John Fredrickson will discuss his outstanding book about the manufacture of World War II bombers.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Ash is proud to work with DECA to provide a taste of home to our commissary patrons around the world.
From canned beans to instant oatmeal, the Freedom's Choice brand has all your favorite food items made exclusively for our nation's armed forces and families with the quality, value, and integrity you deserve. Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
Exercise is hard, so is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year, but most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
FBI Director Christopher Wray is testifying on Capitol Hill on Tuesday. He says the United States really needs to keep their eye on China.
I think China writ large is the most significant counterintelligence threat we face. We have economic espionage investigations, for example. That's just one piece of it in virtually every one of our 56 field offices. And the number of those has probably doubled over the last 3 or 4 years. Almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them lead back to China.
Longtime Trump associate Roger Stone is proclaiming his innocence. Stone entered a plea of not guilty during an arraignment proceeding today in D.C. federal court. Stone will be back in court on Friday. Speaking of court, in Brooklyn, closing arguments are set for Wednesday in the El Chapo drug trafficking trial. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
The State Department is telling Americans not to travel to Venezuela. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Days after the Trump administration announces that it's not recognizing Nicolas Maduro as the rightful president of the South American nation, instead recognizing Juan Guaido as its interim president, the State Department has issued the no travel advisory for U.S. citizens, saying there's crime, civil unrest, poor health infrastructure, and arbitrary arrest and detention of U.S. citizens. The department ordering the departure of non-emergency U.S. government workers and family members as well, because of the ongoing political instability.
The FBI announced on Tuesday that they have not found any motives as to why Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas shooter, would kill 58 people. The FBI also said they still believe Paddock acted alone when he planned and carried out the attack. The 64-year-old shot himself after opening fire from his hotel suite. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Democrats and Republicans will meet on Capitol Hill on Wednesday to discuss border security and a way to fix our immigration system. The president has once again said he may declare a national emergency on our southern border. Some Democrats and Republicans are up in arms over this, but Republican Senator John Kennedy tells Fox News,
A national emergency is not my preferred option, but I'm not like some of my colleagues who believe that the world will spin off its axis and Western order will end if the president does it. It'll probably get tied up in court. I happen to think we do have an emergency on the border.
It could be. Does Bill Barr get confirmed, by the way?
Yes. He'll have a lot of Democrats vote against him, but I'm going to tell you, on the Judiciary Committee, if you gave everybody, including the Democrats, truth serum, they would say he's just exceptionally qualified. It doesn't mean the Dems are going to vote for him, but they know in their hearts. This guy's was a good attorney general, and he'll be even better one this time.
The Los Angeles Rams are getting ready to take on the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 53 this Sunday in Atlanta. Yesterday was media day. Rams head coach Sean McVay says the Patriots' defense, they're pretty darn good.
In these last couple games, with what they've been able to do against two of the best offenses without a doubt in the playoffs, and that's why it's a great challenge for us. That's why they're here consistently.
The Super Bowl kicks off Sunday at just after 6:30 Eastern Time. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.